Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Oh, hello, my wonderful students, also known as the internet. It's your favorite substitute teacher, and I'm here to welcome you to season 196, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. That means, what is everybody talking about? What's everyone thinking about? And half the time it's interesting, half the time it's scary, you know, most of the time it's funny. But it is Friday, thank you, August 6th, 2021. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Hideo Noho, a.k.a. experimental Japanese blackanese artist, your boy Kusama. You know my pumpkin pieces popping up everywhere. You know how I get down with polka dots. Anyway, I am thrilled to be joined today by my co-host, who's a wonderful just media commentator, just nerd. I mean, like, mega nerd. Like, if I have questions, I go to Joelle, and then she'll let me know. Yes. If I'm acting ignorant about the MCU, she will step right in and correct the record. She's just a fantastic person, podcaster, producer. I mean, I don't, like, I could keep going. She's got the parents that everyone else wants, as true. It turns out. She's got fantastic parents. Please welcome Joelle Monique!
Hey, what's up? AKA the Marvel Avenger. Y'all gonna have to come up with some new nicknames for me. I did that one, and I'm pretty proud of it.
I know. Some of them stick, and we like them.
Listen, Marvel Avenger is not going anywhere. But yeah, how are you doing today? You've been off living that wonderful, luxurious life.
Oh, you know, just doing what I can.
Yeah,
just eating whole pineapples. Just taking bites out of pineapples like they're regular apples. And then people are like, oh my God, is that person okay? They taste so good.
That's the dream. Yeah.
it's to weird out people with the way you eat a pineapple. And hell, I'm doing it.
I mean,
look, the blessings keep coming in, you know, and I have to stay blessed, never stressed. Yes. But let's welcome our guest for today. This is somebody, you know, who I first realized this is a guest that I really fuck with, because her kick game's bonkers. She's like, yo, you fuck with sneakers? I like sneakers too. Then she was telling me about the goat person that lived behind her school back in Texas. And I said, this, go on. You are so interesting. You might know them as a stand-up comedian, an improviser, a fucking writer, or a fantastic guest on this show. You've seen her all over doing her stand-up. And, you know, and she's blessing us, okay? She's moving past the Netflix or the Hulus or MTVs and coming to our little quaint podcast to bless us with the presence. Please welcome the legend, Ever Maynard!
Thank you so much. What a really great introduction. What's up, my little iHearts? Is this what
Damn
a radio
I
personality
I never
does?
Came up with that. My little iHearts. Hell yes.
My little hearts.
Yeah. What's new?
Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, navigating all the new deltas and the lambdas, the variants.
Yeah.
Just some life adjustments.
Wait till those kappas come. You know what I mean?
I'm not
prepared. Could be an event. You know, wait till Sig Ep comes along, or Gamma Phi Beta, or Anna said
Marvel?
We're in trouble when Tri-Delt comes. Okay, those are all Greek.
Okay, there's a Marvel villain whose name is like a Delta Chi variant, and he's okay. Was the MCU thing not real? Because I'm trying to remember who this villain is.
A Delta Chi variant named
he's got like silver hands and like his eyes are like shadowy, and he's like a mega villain. Like he's like
a mega villain with silver hands.
And like teeth. My doctor's always like, what's wrong? And I'm like, it's got the teeth. Someone's like, what are you feeling? Can you please use your words anytime I'm like in a fight? Like, I feel, and the silver hands. Anybody else here try to express their feelings?
I mean,
feelings?
Look, if you've got Joelle stumped, this may not be a real thing.
Listen, I Googled it to try to figure out, and the top two options are Ultra Humanite and Omega Red, which...
I'm thinking of Omega Red.
Omega Red. Oh, but Omega Red has them little tentacles that come out.
Yeah.
And get you. And with his blonde hair. You got a blonde
pigtail.
How did
you find that? How did you search that one?
I typed in mega villain with silver hands.
And I guess the silver hands, you're referring to the tentacles.
Okay, maybe not this guy.
Oh.
Because he was on the cartoon as well.
Where do you remember seeing this villain?
In the cartoons, and I have a few X-Men comic books I should go get.
Omega Red is definitely in X-Men.
No, Omega Red is in X-Men, but this is maybe when the other galaxy comes in and they're like, what is this? Maybe not necessarily when they go to Dinosaur Town. Do you guys remember that
you
whole...
Said it's,
like,
wait, all silver? You said? Like silver vibes?
All silver.
But is it Strife? Strife?
No, I think he fights Cable.
Okay. Is it Juggernaut? He doesn't have silver hands, but he is an X-Men and he fights Cable.
Well, here's the thing. Strife is a clone of Cable. That's why I asked that.
It's not Juggernaut.
Okay, well, listen.
I'm going to send a photo.
We'll brew on that while the people who probably know this and are listening like screaming into
He's
the ether about what it is.
He's got a cape. He does
it's
have
Strife.
A cape.
Okay,
I'm putting my money on Strife because Strife
has silver hands,
been
silver body, giant red cape.
You know, we see this, and it is Cable's clone. So I feel like we got a lot going here. We'll leave it there.
We're gonna shelf this conversation.
Let's table that. Let's put a pin in this called the worst comics podcast you've ever heard. And
take me to a Comic Con. Let me guess. This is a fun Comic Con game where I try to describe the superhero or the supervillain, and then all the
with the most vague details.
I love it.
That's a skill.
And they're like, "Ding, bing, bang." Yeah. Okay. Cool.
That actually would be a fantastic game.
Nobody better steal my. Freaking idea. You heard it here. You heard it here.
Mail yourself this podcast episode so you know it's copywritten. Okay. Remember like
this
that old fallacy?
You can't touch it. If this fucking industry takes one more thing away from me, I'm going to scream. I'm going to become Strife.
That's fair. The natural evolution.
Before we progress through our comic book dissertation and discussion, let's give a quick preview of what we're going to be talking about in the rest of the episode. We're going to be talking about this fight between Ron DeSantis and Joe Biden. Really just Ron DeSantis being racist because Joe Biden said, hey, get your act together over there in Florida. Then we'll talk about Fox and Friends. They're fighting over the vaccine, but like, you know, like very passive aggressive, like conservative white people fighting where they're like, I don't know about that. And like, we don't. Well, I don't know. But there's still some trouble in paradise. We're also going to talk about The police, they're having trouble recruiting people. Oh, no. And because of that, they are turning to the algorithm to try and identify new cops.
Aggressive assholes? Great.
Yeah.
Good times.
Well, we'll see. See, this is where the marketing side comes in, because clearly this was being put out there to let people know what their trouble is and what they're trying to do different. Mm. We'll also talk about, look, if you remember, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of not just 9/11, but of Aaliyah passing away, August 25th, 2001. I remember where I was. I was at my grandparents' timeshare in Anaheim, okay, 17 years old, not giving a fuck until I heard that. And then BET just, it was just a tear fest. Cool. There's a new book coming out that has some really interesting allegations about what may have happened that day she boarded that fateful flight. And it's wild. And on top of that, we also got teased that her catalog might come out, but then also her estate has issues with that. We'll have to do a quick Aaliyah update, because right now the only album out there is AJ Nothing But a Number. That's a problem. We have other ones too, like One in a Million and the self-titled Aaliyah that we're like, where's that one? But before we get into any of that, Zeit Gang, I got to let you know, we are going to have a live streamed live show. Yes, you heard me correct. If you didn't get a chance to see us at our live tour at the beginning of 2020, I know only a few lucky cities were able to. This is your chance to see that show happen. It's us taking on the year 2000, one of the most consequential years in culture, zeitgeist, or whatever you want to call it. And we will be doing that live. And you can get your tickets at momenthouse.com/The Daily Zeitgeist. That's MOMENTHOUSE, momenthouse.com/The Daily Zeitgeist. And remember, it's I before E, folks, because I know sometimes we like to get them mixed up. But yes, come through. You can get your tickets for the August 25th live show. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have wonderful guests or guests. Who knows? You're in for a surprise. And on top of that, we also have a dope limited edition poster you can pick up. We haven't really done posters yet, and you can all get that at the same place, momenthouse.com/The Daily Zeitgeist. We hope to see y'all at the live stream show, because we weren't able to see you in person, but please believe we will be in there in person eventually. But for now, we will meet from the safety of our own homes on the beautiful internet. Now, Ever, we got to ask you, what is something from your search history besides Silver Hair's Hand Bad Guy MCU that is revealing about who you are and what you're up to?
Oh, shit. I've been really just, I guess I've really just been fucking going through it. Because right now, my search history is like YouTube videos of Pema Chodron, Buddhist meditation, shopping sites, and psychology so today.
I understand like, your mental state,
I'm
going to
process this by buying, get the endorphins, get the dopamine, feel it good.
What are we buying? Retail therapy.
Like, working it through.
What's in the cart? What's in the cup, Wayne?
Everybody's doing sales, right? So I'm looking at a lot of Craig Greens. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a lot of Henrik Bibscoff. But maybe I'll
go. What is that?
I don't know any of those things.
Henrik Bibscoff is, I think he's a Danish designer. He has really fun designs, kind of quirky outfits. Craig Green, I just feel good in the fits.
Fashion? Yes.
Yeah. But also, I've also been, you know, like setting goals again and steps to goals. Because I feel like 2020 was such a fuck of a mindset. And I was like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
I'll be honest with y'all. Like, and my little iHearts, I'm not going to stop calling the listeners my little iHearts. Like, I'm tired of like not being vulnerable. I'm just going to be vulnerable. Like, it was a weird time for everyone. I got a little depressed. I felt lack of motivation because it was
What? Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Now it's like, here are my daily goals. Like,
it's great that you can, you're seeing the light at the end of the, at the end of the cave. I know that some psychologists have been calling it cave syndrome because of, you know, because it's almost like nearly 2 years of trying to live a certain way that it's become normal that like we had to retreat to our caves sort of metaphorically to stay safe and to also like sort of realign like what we think is normal, that coming out is like very different now of being like there's all the stress, and they've talked about it all like since vaccines have been coming out, but cave reemergence is the one that I think I identify with the most.
That sounds like a Tim the Toolman Taylor saying, cave syndrome.
Yeah. Man has to come out of his cave. And then like Wilson's just there like peering over the fucking fence. So you're like, bro, can you go in your cave for a second, man? Stop spying on my kids playing in the backyard.
What is his name? Al? Al Borgen?
Yeah.
Al whatever.
Al Borland.
Borland. For some reason, he's just like polishing a bowling ball. Like, what?
Old Richard Karn. Who's also now in Penn 15.
I wish my search was funny, but I literally went to my history and I was like, oh, here are my patterns.
It doesn't have to be funny. I asked like, what you're up to, and you're working on yourself and you're working on myself. Your drip. You know?
Yeah. And if anybody's going through a hard time in depression, I highly recommend you just put it on.
Therapy.
Therapy. But
if you can access it, for sure.
Even if you're not a Buddhist, there's a YouTube link called the Strength to Do What Gives Us Joy. And listen to it while you're doing whatever, you know, it's a YouTube link. Who cares? Might be a podcast, but I highly recommend it because it was hard to find the joy in writing comedy or doing comedy. And sometimes it takes strength. I don't know. It's just, it's a great talk and it's really helped me through. So if you're going through cave syndrome, you're going through depression, I highly recommend this
talk.
To
give nudge you in the right direction for sure.
And then go buy something off the internet.
Yeah.
And then go buy some reusable straws.
It's like the best advice I've heard in so long.
Go buy some new shoestrings. I'm buying crazy shit. I'm like, new shoes. Like, yeah, these shoes would look cool with fluorescent orange shoestrings. Yeah. And shoelaces.
I just got into changing up my shoes. I never change my shoestrings. And I'm like, look at how this changes the entire silhouette of my shoe. Like, it just suddenly, like, different parts of it pop. And it's just, it's like having new shoes with, like, a simple, low-cost change. And I really, I appreciate that. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Ever, what's something that you think is overrated?
I'm going to say something that is overrated, truffle. Truffle fries, truffle seasoning. I'm over it.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I put my foot down. I got out of my cave. Everything was truffle fry this, truffle fry that. It tasted disgusting. I'm over it. I don't, like, I went out to eat. I'm done.
So, wait, you eat it and you're like, ugh! God, this is terrible.
I threw up in their face. I said, bring the chef out.
Bring the chef out. You call this fries? Just give them to me regular. Salt and that's it. Go. I need rosemary herbs and shit. It's
don't
funny,
fucking
though.
Bring any PPO out here. I want you to see this. No mask.
There's a thing, man. Like, I feel that, you know, truffle became one of those things where you could put it in the title and then that justified raising the cost of it by like 40%. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like, oh man, don't upsell them on the truffle fries. Like, well, what's different? We put some perfumed oil on it. Don't ask if it's actual truffle oil, because that's another big distinction out there in the food world is there's like perfumed truffle oil and then there's like true truffle oil. Mm-hmm. And you can mark it up. You know, I enjoy the taste, but yeah, it's definitely... everywhere. It's everywhere.
This is like overrated.
The $72 fried rice that's happening in San Francisco right now.
$72 fried rice?
Yeah, because it's got wagyu and uni and caviar and black truffles. And it's just like, I think there's some crab in there too. It's like, is this what's happening? I don't
like
it.
So many flavors.
It's just
like uni. That you want to eat the thing individually, you know? I don't want to mix it up or whatever.
$72? For a bowl of fried rice.
Please tell me that's not a white person selling that.
I'm actually not tempted. Let me see.
I remember a tweet that was like so funny. It was like, immigrants have the right to like overcharge white people for our regular cultural food. Like, yeah, that's true. Exactly. Hit them with the markup. But yeah.
Chef truffle. Rob Lamb. So... maybe? Okay.
Well, raw
we'll take
lamb?
It with a grain of salt.
Raw
Chef
lamb.
Raw lamb. Has had a lot of food poisoning cases, apparently, from his restaurants. Ever, what's something that you think is underrated?
Now, this might seem like it's already overrated. Mm-hmm. Underrated, a high-quality scented candle.
Oh, Ever, speak my language!
Like, somebody was like, you're spending how much on a scented candle? I'm like, No, you don't get it.
You don't.
This is my cave. My cave smells good, though.
Yeah. Mm. And that's a reflection on me and my emotional state. It feels good. What's up, my little iHearts?
What scents are we getting into? And what brands? Because people are big brandies when it comes to their big candles.
Well, yeah. I will say, first of all, too, but I've been really getting into copal, but I'm trying. There is a copal shortage, but copal use for spiritual reasons, whatever.
I feel you. It's on my altar as well.
But Patty Wax, big fan of Patty Wax right now.
They have
a parks candle.
Ooh.
And you buy this and they donate to national parks. But then they have they have masculine scents, which I really like. You know,
yes. Your leathers and your bourbons.
For the listeners out here, I'm pretty butchy looking. but I also have been really getting into willow and cotton and like a lavender scent. Surprisingly.
I just got a French lavender candle that is to die for.
How do y'all use your candles? Are they burning all the time? Are they contextual candles? Do you do it most of the day so it helps scent your home? What's your strategy with the candle?
I'm going to let you go first because I really want to hear how you do it.
Okay. So usually it's like when I need a pick me up, right? And then up the street from me is this great little shop. I'm not giving out the name. I should promote it, but if more people go there, I'll be upset. It's like beautiful and they make all different kinds of spiritual candles. Some have glitter in them. Some like have that wood wick. So it's like creating an audio atmosphere.
It would be so funny if you were like House of Intuition and it's like, wait. That's a little shop.
No, it's locally owned and it's perfect. And like it literally just my whole
candle
house
factory outlet
just warm. Stop it. Just warm and delicious and so like just cozy. And that's what I really love about it. But then, you know, sometimes you're like, I feel like a really light, fresh air scent. But sometimes you need like I also buy D&D candles, which I love. So they're made to scent for different scenes you're playing during D&D.
Oh, that's cool.
Dude, I have one that's a tavern and it smells like red wine and leather.
Wait, this
bonkers good.
Her Majesty, my partner, her friend opened a candle store like in LA that's like sort of based on art, like role playing games.
Is it the same one? Cantrip candles?
I think so.
Yes, I love them. You guys can shop online for cantrip candles, so I don't mind shouting them out. They are brilliant. Their candles smell amazing. There's one that smells like parchment paper if you're like in a library or a monastery or something. Nice. But then at the end of the candle, when you're done burning it, there's a fresh D20 in there at the bottom, just waiting for you to add to your dice collection, which is already too large. And I just love that they're indulging in a different like hobby / collection thing. Like there shouldn't be dice at the bottom of candles, but it's there and it's wonderful.
Yeah. It's so funny. The guy Christoph is a classmate of Her Majesty. Like who owns that place. And I remember he hooked us up with the account and said, look at this. This is fucking tight. I like to have in the winter, that's when I get off the candles go off around me. Cause it has to, like I said, it has to smell like a Hallmark fucking movie in the house.
Winter, the fall, it's game over.
Yeah.
It's game
candle
over.
Season, baby. I don't do candles in the summer really. But
get a floral candle for the summer.
Oh, okay.
Get a floral
good to know.
Candle. Get something light, because then it's like
these are the kinds of things that we need to know about. And the listeners, the iHearts, if you will, or the Zeit Gang, however you identify, these are tips for you to take home. Mm-hmm. All right, let's pay some bills real quick, and we will be right back after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. I just want to say, I'm sorry to keep harping on candles, but have y'all tried Homesick? Those ones that are like scented after different states or places?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Those aren't bad either.
They smell nice, but it wasn't Chicago.
It smells like COVID. The Texas and Florida ones just smell like COVID.
Right.
<You're> like, the highest.
It smells
why
like someone's
I not
coughing.
Smell anymore. Just nothing.
Yeah. Oh, trick candle.
Damn, like, that was
oh,
a
no.
Great.
Hey, that you know what? Good. You know what? That's let's just shout that out.
Yeah, that's a level up. What
yeah,
a fucking
she just
great...
leveled up. She's taking this podcast to a first rate podcast. Yeah. Slow down, Joelle. Slow down.
Wow.
Well, let's talk about, speaking of Florida and Texas. Yes, the COVID rates in Texas and Florida, they account for about 1/3 of all COVID cases in the nation. And that shouldn't be a surprise since those states have significantly low vax rates. And they also have governors that seem to have some very deep desire to watch their constituents get sick and aggressively. You know, they're opposing any kind of safety measures, like under the name of freedom. So, you know, Joe Biden, he's the president, turns out. I mean, if you believe the election or some of the people on the internet. But anyway, Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, has been trying to get folks to obviously get the vaccine. And, you know, there's actually been some good news. There was a substantial increase in people getting vaccinated across sort of the Southeast, where a lot of people were holding out on getting vaccines. So I just want to read this quick quote. The vaccination rate reached its highest level since early last month with 864,000 doses administered. White House coronavirus response coordinator told reporters about 585,000 of those were the patient's first shots. So suggesting more unvaccinated people are coming to the table, and that the vaccination rates in places, especially like Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Mississippi, have hit levels not seen since April. So it seems, I think there's probably enough anecdotal evidence. Like, I feel like every week there's a headline about someone who was like, fuck the vaccine. And then they passed away a week later. It's like really sad. Like in the beginning, a lot of people were like, fuck around, find out. But when you see it more and more, it's like, God, like they're leaving children behind and families and things like that.
There's so much potential in the reverb of the pain that generations will carry. I mean,
exactly.
Even living through this, you know, that we individually carry, but also like having a loved one pass away, you know, sometimes even... Let's say they, not to lump everybody in the same thing, but when you have people who are vaccine deniers and a family going like, what the fuck? And they pass away, like there's a bitterness that is in the, it's just going to be in the hearts for so long.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. And it'll turn to something, metastasize into something else too. If
exactly.
you're not
anger,
really confronting
hate,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shopping and, sprees.
Right. Exactly. But the thing is, even with those levels, you know, on the rise, there's still so much more to do because we're still like woefully under the numbers we need to be to try and get any place towards like really eradicating this thing, at least in this country. So what Joe Biden said, and look, he's taking particular shots at Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis. He's saying, quote, if some governors aren't willing to do the right thing to beat this pandemic, then they should allow businesses and universities who want to do the right thing to be able to do it. I say to these governors, please help. But if you aren't going to help, at least get out of the way. So,
but getting out of the way would be helping and therefore in direct opposition of their end goal, right?
Very, like
their
goal very is astute observation.
Specifically to make it more challenging. It's wild to me because now children are dying. Like healthy, athletic children are just falling over and dying. And still they're like, you know, and then DeSantis who was like, I'm just going to pull school funding if you guys have a mask mandate. Are you out of your mind? Yeah. What they can't even try to protect themselves? Like,
Whether it's masks or teaching critical race theory, there's some schools that are getting their funds pulled, not in Florida, but I want to say Arkansas or Mississippi, where they're like, you're teaching critical race theory. And they're like, we're not.
And like, again, okay, if you ask these people to define it, they have no idea what critical race theory even means. They can't tell you what it is. They just want to know if it's being taught. It's just ridiculous.
So I just want to bring up Ron DeSantis's reaction because it was very adult and very mature and very gubernatorial. Hobbit-looking, I guess, is the word. So look at him clap back at Joe Biden.
Joe Biden is taken to himself to try to single out Florida over COVID. This is a guy who ran for president saying he was going to, quote, shut down the virus. And what has he done? He's imported more virus from around the world by having a wide open southern border.
Okay. So cue racism as a defense. Yeah, that's what I'm the governor.
It's exhausting to think about.
Guys, I got to go shop.
That circular logic of just being like, it's your fault because immigrants, I'm not doing anything to stop
that's
the virus.
Where we
actively
are
encouraging it. But, you know, just that good old standby immigrants. Like, yeah.
Well, he's just, again, this seems to be the one tactic that because Ted Cruz did the same thing. Like,
man,
because
this piece of shit.
They don't have anything like substantive to add to this aside from just pivoting to xenophobia because they think hopefully that will connect. Ooh. And he continued his slam on Biden. Listen to him really comfort Joe Biden. Mm. Like that was just the beginning of his clap back.
Why don't you do your job? Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you. Thank you.
He's racist.
Hey, I don't hear a blip about COVID from you.
What's wild to me, it's like, these, even if you wanted to somewhat conflate immigration with COVID, there's two totally different problems, right?
Yeah.
Like, securing the border is not going to stop the rampant spread of this virus in your community. Like, your voters, your
voters specifically. You don't even share a border with a country.
One. Two, your voters are actively dying. Like, it's your people that are dying. What is the logic here?
There is none. And you know what's interesting is that the people in Florida seem to also get it, too, because since the last couple months, his approval ratings have dropped 10%. Like, even in the beginning, people, like, loved that he was like, fuck science. Mm. Death is sick, y'all. That has clearly not worked. Y'all. And now Joe Biden has higher approval ratings than DeSantis does in Florida.
Oh, that's why he's angry. Okay.
Yeah.
This is making a lot of sense.
And
and
there's a lot of polls showing, like, even in, like, these hypothetical matchups with him and Democrat Charlie Crist for governor, he'd lose. And then, like, the actual person who's running as a challenger is, like, closing the gap, too. So,
damn,
might not be a good strategy.
I do have, like, we're talking about, like, fuck death. I have a story.
Mm.
So I did a show, and I do crowd, like, a lot of my shows are, like, crowd work. Like, I chat with people. And, like, I was making fun of Slack, and this lady was like, yeah, yeah. And, like, so afterwards, I was like, oh, I'm going to go talk to her. And,
wait,
like,
Slack,
date.
The platform to communicate?
Yes.
Okay, the working thing that we've all had to be subjected to? Yeah.
Hell.
I literally came when I deleted that app off my phone. Wow.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Have an orgasm? I'm sorry. That's such a juvenile joke. But she was there probably like on a second or a third date. And they were like this really hot, like LA couple. And I was like, okay, like, I don't know why I brought in what they look like, but they were like a hot, they were hot.
Striking. Contextualize the story. Like, I get it.
Young, sexy. And the lady and I, we were talking about like, she grew up in Dallas and like, you know, I grew up outside and like Little River. I literally grew up outside in Little River and outside. And we were talking about like, we were just chatting, shooting the shit. And like, I had my mask on. She goes, oh, I'm vaccinated. I said, oh, I'm vaccinated too. I just like to be safe. And the guy goes, oh, I'm not vaccinated. And we laughed. We thought he was making a joke. And I was like, yeah, yeah, me either. I'm not vaccinated. And he goes, no, I haven't been vaccinated since I was a child. And like, the woman's face briefly showed like panic and like a what the fuck? Like, what? Ugh. Like, and she goes, but what? And he goes, oh, yeah. And she goes, no, you told me you were vaccinated.
Oh, no.
And he goes, no, I didn't. And she was like, yes, you did. But also, like we were still trying to, like, be in, like.
I just asked you in a text. And you said,
right, like, be in, like, high spirits and joking around. And he goes, no, I don't believe in vaccines. I told you I was healthy.
Oh.
Bitch!
He, like, lied by omission and was like, no, I told you I was healthy. And then he goes, we all die when we're going to die.
Oh boy!
And oh, wash your like, hands, girl.
Like, and she just like moved away, and then we all laughed. And I was like, I made a joke. I was like, well, I'm gonna go help clean up. And she was like, haha, I'm coming with you. And like,
she was like, save me, girl.
Men are dogs, man. Like, sorry, sorry. That's why I'm gay, because men are dogs.
Step one to weirdom. Yes. Yeah,
but I've never heard that before. Just being out here going like, no, I said I was healthy. Like, yeah. Insinuating.
And just watching someone process that, too, is like having a front row seat to that is a little awkward.
It was fucked. I went home and I was like, do I have the Delta?
Well, the thing is, this kind of thing is happening a lot, even in conservative spheres where people are now getting vaccinated and like feeling like they're being betrayed by people because they're like, I thought we were anti-vax. And now you believe in all this reporting that shows that being unvaccinated could be a potential death sentence for you.
So, or the ones you love if you're asymptomatic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it's like the one thing I think a lot of people can't get their heads around, too, is like immunocompromised people, too. It's like, especially with the flu shot, when I was first sort of like, oh, do I need it or whatever? And a friend of mine who's a nurse was like, yeah, because there are people who will die just because you don't have them. I was like, and it's your duty to protect people as well. Like, just because, and I was like, oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I didn't think about that at all.
I've never thought about that, actually.
Yeah.
Just the flu shot. Because I was like, oh, I don't need a flu shot. I'm pretty healthy. Like, I haven't had the flu in a long time.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Because now you'll be around people who are unable to be safe. And that was when I first sort of began to even wrap my head around the sort of this relationship that we have to each other in this medical context. And it seems like, you know, at Fox, too, we saw that they've had a bit of a change of heart over the last few weeks or month, even, where they're like suddenly like, oh, yeah, like vaccines are good and like COVID is bad. And normally the three clowns at the Three Ring Circus over at Fox and Friends in the morning, they usually get along very well because they're always on the same page about how ignorant they are. But over the last month, you can tell that Steve Ducey, he thinks vaccines work. Like, we played a clip a few weeks ago where he was like, all that stuff about microchips or that like they're going to surveil you, like it's all fake. It's all nonsense. The vaccines work. You should get a vaccine. He said that out loud on Fox and Friends. Right. And Brian Kilmeade was like kind of like scoffing. But I've noticed, you know, Brian Kilmeade, he'd like pull faces when Steve Ducey would say that, you know, like when someone says the Clippers will win the championship.
But they all have the vaccine.
Of course. They do.
Oh, no, of course. And this is the thing. A recent poll even showed that vaccine hesitancy among Fox News viewers specifically, it's dropped by 10% since March. In March, it was like 37%. They're like, I'm not fucking with it. Now it's down to 27%. On Thursday, they had a really fun exchange where Ducey noted a little bit inaccurately that about 20% of Arkansas COVID hospitalizations were children.
really what the facts are is nearly 19% of the active cases in the state are currently among children under 18. And then among hospitalized children, 20% are 12 and under. So that's like
you're
a really
literally killing children. It doesn't make sense to me.
These are scary numbers, you know, especially if you are a parent.
And now they're forcing them to go back to school. Like, there's just no way. I don't have offspring, but if I did, absolutely, we're going to figure out homeschooling. Like, I'm flying grandma and grandpa out, whatever we got to do. But there's no way I'm letting you dive into what
you're
is
like,
literally
you're watching
just
these
a cesspool of disease. Like,
yeah. Well, that's the thing. Hearing numbers like that, I think most normal parents, your parental evolutionary instincts would be to protect your offspring at the very least when you hear things like that. So Ducey essentially made this point to sort of be like, y'all get the vaccine. Like, don't fuck around, because even the governor of Arkansas is like, I regret signing a bill that said I couldn't do anything about COVID and also like banned masks. Like, I fucked up bad. And I just want to play this clip first so you can kind of hear how Steve Ducey, you know, goes on to be like, no, this is something important. But also keep in mind, Brian Kilmeade is trying to like, and also Ainsley Earhart, they're almost trying to be like, hey, like, what you trying to say?
Apparently about 20% of the people who are in hospitals with coronavirus, 20% of them are children. So that's one of the things they're obviously going to be talking about. There are a lot of kids under 12, cannot currently be vaccinated. But if your kids are over 12, you probably ought to get the shot.
Yeah, right. See your doctor decide what you want to do. That's what usually people go to for medical advice, doctors.
I didn't go to a doctor before I got the shot.
Well, that's your decision.
Your choice. Absolutely.
That's your decision. But I don't think anchors should be recommending medical advice.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have been tuning into the show for 25 years to see what we think about different things. I think if you have the opportunity, get the shot.
Right. But shouldn't you see a doctor to give you expertise about what they're seeing about a shot?
There's some women that don't want to get it if they're pregnant because
they
want to wait till the baby's born. I understand
this is where they go sniping and trying to undercut this whole thing. You know?
That is such a bitch move, because like y'all are constantly telling people what to do and what not to do. So many times y'all have just been like, don't get the shot. Like, it's a scam. These people are lying to you. And y'all can't take one person being like, you know, maybe get it, since we have literal doctors saying, hey, 20% of cases are children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the funny thing. Kilmeade really struck on something when he said, I don't know if it's a place for an anchor to give med. Like, that's how he tried to undercut Steve Ducey's point. Allow me to play this viral clip from last week where all you've been hearing on Fox News is motherfuckers who aren't medical experts give you fucked up advice. And it's just a compilation of a lot of people just starting off with the sort of caveat of, I'm not a doctor, but. And
here
just
we go.
Listen to how frequent this happens.
I'm not a doctor, but
I'm not a medical health professional, but I'm not a doctor, but
I'm not a physician and I'm not a public health expert, but
not an epidemiologist, but
I'm not a doctor,
but I'm not a doctor, but
I'm not a doctor, but I figured this out.
Well, I'm not a public health expert.
No, you're not a doctor, but you know, golf.
You're not a health expert myself, but
not a doctor, but
I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor. But I'm not a doctor, but
I'm not a doctor, but
I'm not a doctor,
but I'm not a doctor, but
I'm not a doctor, but
I'm not.
I think we get the point.
Truly, you are 33 seconds into a minute long video.
We're halfway through this and it's all nothing but I'm not a doctor,
but
if you're going to say I'm not a blank, but just stop. You don't have to go. Yeah. I'm not racist, but I'm not a doctor, but just then no one needs to hear your opinion.
I'm not a woman of color, but.
And then I try to chime in. Hey,
wait!
You come with that big Fox energy, and that's what's funny.
Yeah,
they're suddenly
that's
like
fucked up.
And I think that's what really makes it difficult. That's why I kind of feel for people who
illegal.
Unfortunately,
caveat.
This is the shit that they trust, and you're getting fucking quadruple speak in a given hour watching that channel, and you're not going to know what the fuck's going on. So
do some research for yourselves. Go ahead and go talk to actual
doctors.
That's
also dangerous, because then they're looking on the websites.
Now, source your information, y'all. Directly source your information.
Because Biden is shipping planes of school children in the middle of the night. One of my family members posted an article about that.
Oh,
I
no.
said, the fuck
he's
is
He's flying
this?
Children into the where?
He's like shipping children in.
Okay.
Just from other countries?
He's like insinuating that Biden is a pedophile. Oh. Okay. I didn't click on the link because I was like, I'm not clicking on this because I know what the fuck is going to happen with the algorithm search history.
Yeah.
Who knows what the fuck information this site's getting from me.
Yeah. Well,
I don't want to, you know, up it on there. Whatever. But it was just like, you know, it's also like, yeah, go do your own research. But a lot of people.
You don't know where to start.
Yeah.
It's like there's no baseline that everyone can agree. Like, okay, we can. What if it's in the Encyclopedia Britannica? Are we going to say, can we start there as a baseline for truth or no? It's like, no, it's biased. What do you like? I like this GeoCities website that has its alt text and fucked up HTML on it. That's telling me about how if I get the vaccine, I will get ED.
My low speed internet will load this site.
So speaking of low speed internet and just trouble on the internet, I want to talk about law enforcement because apparently police are having a very tough time finding willing recruits that will brutalize the poor and reframing it as law enforcement. And this was even before the uprisings last summer. And pandemic only made things harder because apparently they would just go to job fairs and be like, hey, would you like to be a savior with a gun type thing? And this the LAPD, like they've had some spokespeople come out and be like, yeah, it's been difficult. They've said, quote, historically, the majority of our recruitment efforts have been in person canvassing where we actually go out to schools or trade shows or meet with organizations.
It's the pandemic.
Then they go on to say they've been struggling. LAPD has been struggling to hit its target for recruiting women, Black, and Asian American applicants. So what are they pivoting to? They're using the same tech that many social media platforms use to figure out who we are and what we like and what they might be able to sell to us. It's the same way. You know how like Instagram ads just started hitting different like over the last year? And you're like, what the fuck? They fucking know me. Why are they always putting vintage basketball shorts in front of me? They know. What the fuck? Fuck. It's the same mechanism that's now being used to find new police. Quote, the LAPD is one of many police departments recruiting by targeting ads based on personality and not identity. So this is where they're trying to sort of let you know like what the vibe is now. Police agencies want jobs to want job ads to make the position look benevolent and community oriented. The ads reflect and hopefully attract officers that are service oriented and less money driven, who understand bias and who have high risk tolerance. And then this company Census, it's like marketing company, they cross-reference survey data with the lookalike audiences on social media platforms to identify the characteristics that police agencies say make an ideal candidate, which is respect for authority, awareness of social biases, interest in service, and a willingness to compromise social life for their career.
These two Venn diagrams do not overlap. Like, these circles don't overlap. They don't form a proper Venn diagram because there's no center people to fill these two separate things, right? Respects right, authority, right. But is community oriented? I'm just not seeing it.
It sounds like a bit of a unicorn. Sounds like a bit of a unicorn. And what they are looking for is presenting a what they call a guardian vibe in their ads. And they're in these ads, they're rarely showing any kind of association with weapons or squad cars or even arresting people. Like, they
those are
not
fun toys the police love, though. That's their favorite.
Well, see,
part.
I think they were like, oh, when we led with that, we were kind of getting some aggro people. Maybe if we switch it. Now, they said the ads stress community work with images of officers interacting with juveniles at community events, patrolling on foot, and giving speeches in classrooms. The videos often include statements such as, quote, we are a community-oriented department, or we value working with diverse communities. We value having officers live in their communities that they work in.
Uh-huh. I saw somebody take a screenshot of, I don't think it was LAPD, I was like trying to find it. If I can, I'll send it. But one of the perks, because they were targeted, to become a cop, like they went to the Instagram page. Is it called qualified immunity?
Yeah.
About
qualified?
That was one of the perks of becoming a cop.
Qualified? I'm sorry, what?
Was it? Yeah.
Wait, so they're leading with you will be legislatively protected from being prosecuted because you're a police officer? Wait, is your friend some kind of is your friend the supervillain you're trying to identify from the MCU?
Distraught.
No. They weren't going like, hey, check it out. It was like, this is fucked up.
Right. But that was the ad that said qualified immunity was one of the that's like one of the most problematic features of law enforcement that we are trying to fucking undo.
We just caught the Night Stalker.
Yeah. Like, we can't. Right.
What?
We can't even hold police accountable for any kind of transgressions, wrongdoing because of qualified immunity. Qualified immunity makes it so difficult to charge, to say, this person blinded me and I can't have no recourse.
Also, the idea that you're going to be able to change the police force by hiring better is so ridiculous, because the number of cops who left the force and spoken very specifically about how when they tried to do the right thing, they were absolutely shut down, either fired, bullied to an extent that made them want to leave, or physically assaulted by other officers for reporting on their fellow officer for things that are horrible, like doing horrible things. I'm like, yes, planting evidence, but also sexually assaulting people they had detained. Like, it is, you, this is a top down either reformation or abolition that needs to happen. There's truly no way you can hire this culture out of what were formerly slave catchers. It's just not going to happen.
Exactly. And I mean, we're still training police to not have empathy for the unhoused or those who are struggling with their mental health. And most people aren't even able, like, not just police, most people aren't even able to see crimes of survival for what they are. Mm-hmm. Like, they think people are stealing cars or they're shoplifting or they're selling drugs and all this other shit because they want to that's how they want to get retire and put into a 401k. No, that's people surviving because they have no other options available to them. Mm-hmm. And we don't even look at this as like failings, societal failings, that we are leaving people vulnerable and left behind. And then they're so destitute that that's what they have to resort to. We still look at it as they're criminals. We got to do something about it. And that's, again, to your point, Joelle, like, whether it's trying to find good apples or whatever the fuck they think it is, it's not as effective because we have such a much more substantial reckoning with what our idea is of even like law or police or safety.
Mm-hmm. Couple of things. One, I will say it is an improved, like, people are becoming, especially in my hometown, are becoming a little bit more like woke, I guess you could say, or I will say aware that cops aren't always right, which is a big thing coming from rural Texas, to hear family members go, well, we wanted to call like social services, like there's, you know, an elderly person in the neighborhood who has dementia and needs help, and they want to do a wellness check, but they know if they do a wellness check, instead of a social worker showing up, it's going to be a cop with a gun.
Yes.
Right.
And it's just going to go from bad to worse, like immediately. And then I've had family members go like, well, actually, we don't really trust the police. We don't. Our hometown cop, like, he was for a long time part of, you know, whether it was known or an official KKK, but like he was.
Right.
A known racist.
Right.
And there was like shit like that happened, and you feared the cops. Like you just didn't fuck with them. You didn't fuck with this man. Like, what? Like, so in the hometown that I grew up in, like, to hear people go, actually, this is not okay, I think is a little, not to be like, people are, but then on the other hand, it is like, you know, people like my brother's like, you're a faggot. And it's like, yikes. You're my brother. And I'm a dyke. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on the iHeartRadio, but then they're on the other, whatever. But also, like, talking about cops, I feel like they're so horny to use their guns and violence. Oh, yeah. My friend had her car stolen. It was retrieved. They didn't take it out of the system.
Oh, boy.
And all of a sudden, she's driving. She's surrounded by cops.
She gets lit up.
Helicopters flying overhead. They yank her out of the car and throw her on the ground. She was like traumatized
for
a very long time.
That's awful.
And it's like, what? Like, yeah.
I mean, this
there's nothing. There's, I don't know. I feel like that story kind of goes nowhere. And maybe the one about my hometown shitty racist cop, and it's like, hello, there's literally LA cop gangs. So
Google LASD gangs. Google it. LASD gangs. Shout out to Cerise Castle.
I'm not a doctor, but.
Yeah, but Google LASD gangs.
But you want to Google this.
They're sheriff department gangs, and I'm sure it's prevalent across the country. But
yeah,
I think if the whole move is to go past demographics and look for more personality types, I think it's a very soft PR move that the cops are doing right now to be like, it's so different. PR. Like, we're looking for just, you know, sensitive people who are aware of their biases and things like that. And again, I think to everyone's point, it's going to be a lot more than just putting Instagram ads up for different, like, and hoping you get different kinds of people, because there's still people who don't need the Instagram ads to know that policing is a venue for them to just be unrestricted and do whatever the fuck they want because qualified immunity. So
that's nice. Yeah,
we'll keep our eye on that space.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Qualified Immunity, a new podcast brought to you by Stitcher.
All right. Well, we're going to pay some bills and we'll be right back. And we'll talk Aaliyah after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Are y'all big Aaliyah fans?
Hell yeah.
Fans of Aaliyah?
I had the poster as a child, the blue with silver, gorgeous. I like all of the songs. One in a Million is maybe my favorite. Mm-hmm. The day she died, I was getting ready for school. My mother broke the news to me. I cried a lot. It's devastating. Yeah, she was the princess. And then she was gone. Yeah. It was so fast. Like, it was a fast shoot up the top and then just out of nowhere. And this new news is like horrifying. Like,
so yeah, she was 22 when she passed away. She was very young. And I, you know, as I said at the top of the show, I remember I was, my parents and grandparents are like, let's go on a vacation to Anaheim. I'm like, we live in LA. The fuck are we doing in Anaheim? But you know, people love their timeshare. So if there's, if that's the one spot they could get in, they're like, fuck it, we could stay here for free. And plus, we're not using this shit enough. So it's you and your cousin, and we're going to go. I'm 17 and I'm like smoking weed in secret and shit. So I'm like the most, like, worst kind of teenager to take to like a timeshare in Anaheim coming from LA. And yeah, Aaliyah passed away and I was devastated. I was so in love with Aaliyah. I loved her music so much. Like I remember like when Try Again came out from the Romeo Must Die soundtrack. Yes. I didn't, whenever they played on the radio, you know, when you had to like, hey, y'all, let me date myself. When the songs would come on the radio, you had no way of knowing what it was called.
No.
There was no Shazam. The most you could do is maybe navigate to a radio station's website and see if they were uploading their current playlist.
If you were lucky.
Yeah, if you had that. So it was to the point where I had to call Power 106, where hip hop lives, and sing the song back to somebody. Be like, hey, what was that song? I think it's Aaliyah. And it's like,
that was a job.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, that's Try Again by Aaliyah. Downloaded the shit off Napster. But
yes,
you know, yeah, her passing was really tragic. If you remember, she was in a fatal plane accident in the Bahamas. She was, the things that we do know at the time was that the pilot had alcohol and cocaine in his system at the time.
Not a good
and then the plane was like overloaded with baggage. So like the weight distribution was completely fucked up. It was a sort of like things were sort of on paper looking like they could go from bad to worse really quick. So there's a new book coming out by this music journalist, Kathy Iandoli, who claims that Aaliyah may not have actually wanted to get on the plane and was given a sleeping pill in order to board the flight. Now, take this with many grains of salt, because this is from an eyewitness. And I'll read this from this Daily Beast article. Or no, this is from The Root. This is just a description from the book saying, in this news report, an Abaco Islands eyewitness named Kingsley Russell, who was 13 years old at the time and worked as the team's baggage carrier, claimed that a team member gave Aaliyah a pill that caused the artist to go into a deep sleep. She was then carried aboard the aircraft while she was unconscious. Iandoli linked up with Russell after a tip from one of Aaliyah's UK-based super fans and the founder of a very popular fan page.
Okay, so surface value, you're like, this is a lot of sketchy information coming from equally sketchy sources. But on the other hand, fans understood that Britney was in trouble way before anybody else did.
Way.
Right? Fans, fandom, especially the stans, like, yes, it can be excessive. Yes, there is a negative impact inside to that. But they're also, like, so deeply invested that they're often able, in the same way that like a lot of true crime fans have started to solve actual crimes just because they're like literally obsessed and they spend all their extra time doing it. So obviously, please still take this with a grain of salt. But there is an element of it that for me is not at all hard to believe, specifically because I understand how much when you become the celebrity that is like paying like 60 people, you have a team of like 60 that keep you up and running and that you are their paycheck.
Right.
They're not stopping. We got to get on the plane? Here, just take this, sweetie. Like, relax, calm down. You're going to be fine. Get on the plane. Hold her. Like, pick everything. We can't leave equipment. Go.
We can't even close the door. There's so much baggage. Don't worry about it. Don't you want to see Damon Dash, your boyfriend, back
like,
in
the
States?
Like, she just got another video to record when we get back home. Like, there is no time. What am I looking at? Mr. Sinister?
Oh, it's Mr. Right. Oh, wow.
She came in at the final moment.
Let people
something
know right now.
I was like, Mister. There's a Mister. I don't know
what
the fuck.
We got there.
I'm talking about super sleuths and super fans. Will get you the answers you need. It was Mister Sinister.
It's Mister Sinister.
Fucking along. Woo. Thank you.
Wow, fabulous cape, Mister Sinister's cape, with all sort of textured and things like that. Okay.
Sorry for that aggressive derailment,
but you know what? Necessary. Thank you. Because I knew, I said, it's going to come to you. And when it does, let us know. although at an interesting time, we were talking about the tragedy of Aaliyah's life. But Joelle, please continue.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So all I'm saying is that like, it adds up.
Yeah. There's definitely like the element too, to sort of the trauma that she suffers at the hands of R. Kelly. And things like that, that she didn't have a very simple life. Like, this wasn't just somebody. Anyone who starts off famous young, it's a very slippery road emotionally for people, because there's a lot of things you're denied and a lot of things that go unaddressed as you grow up. And yeah, to that, I see some thread, especially when you're saying like, you know, how most people, there's like a saying, they say, don't fuck with my money. Don't fuck up my money, or you're fucking up my money. And in certain cultures, fucking up someone's money is, you will see some very aggressive responses to fucking up someone's money. So you can tell there is a grain of salt too, like where if a person's existence is your money and that person who you're counting on is fucking up just because of their their own sheer will or, you know, because they have agency, then you might step in because you're like, oh, you're not about to fuck up my money because right. you're doing this or that. Now, I don't know what could have been simmering at all that would have created this kind of environment. But at the very least, I feel like on some level, most people, when that plane crashed, were like, what happened? Like, why would you get on a plane that's overloaded? Like, that seems like first up. But then is that because of the negligence on behalf of the pilot or whatever? Who knows? Because he was clearly had things in his system. But it's a very, very interesting point. And now the author of the book has gone on to just sort of say, like, didn't expect all this talk to come out around, but was also saying like they felt compelled to include this in the story because it was something that a lot of fans had been like talking about and curious about. So that is in the book. And the book is coming out soon because it's 20 years. Along with that, there was some kind of bittersweet news is that Aaliyah's music will finally be back on streaming. But the thing is, like, it's really contested because all of her music came out on her uncle's label called Black Drop. Other labels were doing the distribution of it. Mm-hmm. But they were done under that imprint. The uncle was like, hey, it's coming out. Like, finally, these other albums that you've been saying, where the fuck are these Aaliyah albums? They're coming out now. But then her estate posted something saying, like, they don't like this at all. And they feel there's clearly a conflict going on between her estate, like the people that really like her mother who handles her estate, and then her uncle, who is the one who I guess technically has the access to all the tapes of the albums. So
let
it's
her
a lot of
just
fighting.
Figure this out. It is so wild to me that this happens so often to celebrity families, particularly celebrities who've gone too soon and their estates are left in the hands of like bickering family members. We see it a lot with Selena, where like the family
God,
is just so, you know, it's very protective of the story and her legacy, which is absolutely their right. But then like when it like there's a disconnect between how fans interact with this icon and how she's constantly being portrayed. And I feel like the same thing happened with Aaliyah, where it's like fans are like, we would spend so much money on Aaliyah. Like, we're buying anniversary records and albums. We're getting like vocal sessions, like whatever you want to hand to us, we will do. And you can use that money in whatever way, like encourages and enriches the family. But to have this like sort of infighting and then, because it seems to me that a lot of these families want to share their loved one, right? They're like, this is your legacy. This is the way that we keep you going in the current world. And then because of this infighting, they could just never quite get it together to make it work. And there's something incredibly tragic and sad. Of course, you also have, you know, the opposite end of that with like, Miles, help me, the street artist from New York.
Minsky?
Oh, Basquiat? Jean-Michel Basquiat?
Yes, where his stuff is just, anybody want to buy this? Here, great. We'll just take the money. And now he's, literally every major brand has a Basquiat version of something.
Which is so fucked up, because if you really know his sort of life story or worldview, it's not to be on a fucking corksicle insulated beer koozie cup.
If you're going to be a famous artist, like, really dictate your shit in your will. Like, get it early and get it now about how you want to be used. Do not make me a hologram after I die.
Yeah, or like a weird logo on a Brooklyn Nets jersey. Because then they did, like, here's the Basquiat jersey. Like, I don't know if this is...
I would not like this.
It doesn't feel good.
Very, very interesting person and, like, self-taught and self-educated in, like, many different ways. But, yeah... Her estate put this thing out just saying, quote, protecting Aaliyah's legacy is and will always be our focus. For 20 years, we have battled behind the scenes, enduring shadowy tactics of deception with unauthorized projects targeted to tarnish. We have always been confused as to why there is such a tenacity in causing more pain alongside what we already have to cope with for the rest of our lives. Now, in this 20th year, this unscrupulous endeavor to release Aaliyah's music without any transparency or full accounting to the estate compels our hearts to express a word, forgiveness. Which is wild. And they just go on to say, like, they want to defend themselves. They want to make sure that, like, we're honoring her energy and what her actual intent was as a person. So you can only imagine, too. Like, I'm sure there's obviously a money component, too. And then from there, like, you have people who, like, within a family can't even just set all of it aside to say, like, I'm not Aaliyah. You're not Aaliyah. We're not Aaliyah. But she is our family. And as a family, we should actually decide what to do, because you can't just go off and say this is what it needs to be or not be. But hell.
I mean, it's easier said than done, because this person is no longer like in your face every day, day to day. And money and greed changes people. It's no longer human. She's no longer human to these other entities or like a spirit. She's a commodity.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's easy to disassociate, and it's easy to make excuses to forgive yourself when you're doing a shitty thing, when you disassociate the human and the memory of
absolutely of art. and even focus too, because I'm sure her uncle's like, the people want to hear her music. I'm sure you can take that dimension and rationalize everything by saying like, we've been holding back Aaliyah's music from people for too long, and this is the benevolence of this act, is that people will now get to interact with her art rather than listen to weird janky YouTube videos that have the songs out there.
Here's some more gaslighting for you.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know, but we shall see. There's apparently an album that has like there's a potentially a lot of unreleased music too.
Wow,
like
that's Timbaland, but that is exciting.
Yeah, and you know,
if it's
Prince
done
just,
the right way,
Prince
otherwise,
just put out an album last week or 2 weeks ago that was all new material that he had recorded in 2010, and apparently there's stuff with like JoJo and like Timbaland and Magoo and like all these interesting people.
Wow,
so, you know, I hope it's done respectfully, but I will stay a fan forever. Well, Ever, thank you so much. Speaking of Ever,
thank you for having me.
Thank you for at the final hour pulling out that Mr. Sinister pick.
Ugh. I know it was so inappropriate, but it was like I connected the dots.
Yeah, because it's like one of those things too. In your mind, you're like, no, I can't. I know my memory is functioning. Like it's somewhere there. Yes, here it is. Where can people find you and follow you and experience your comedy? And what's a tweet that you like?
Yeah, for sure. I'm all across social media platforms. My name is Ever, E-V-E-R, Maynard, M-A-I-N-A-R-D. You know, right now with COVID and Delta variants, I'm doing live shows in L.A. A lot of them are outdoor. If you're listening to this on Friday, I've got a really cool show coming up Sunday the 8th over Zoom, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's August 8th. At 8 p.m., 888. Oh, I'm talking angel signs.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all, so I do a thing where it's crowd work and it's riffing, but it's based on connection. And so it's not like I'm like, hey, look at this piece of shit. What's with your shirt? Hey, shitty couch. It's, you know, it's like storytelling. It's that. But like we've got like Anna Dresden from Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
she's a brilliant comic. And right. Yeah, exactly. She's going to be there. Julia Loken, Lisa Chenew from, you know, the astrology podcast, you know, these gals, they're going to be popping off. We're going to be talking astrology because it's also like, clearly I know a little bit, but not a lot, but it's also like a lot. It's Leo season. So shit's opening up. It's a new moon. Rawr. So it's exciting. The energy is going to be there. This was supposed to be IRL. Oh my God, I'm realizing something that's coming full circle, and I will almost cry. I will tell you guys after this, but like this first show was supposed to happen March 16th. Holy fuck! I'm having a Mr. Sinister moment in my personal life that I am not ready to share with my iHearts.
Okay, but, that's fine.
That's all right.
But anyways, y'all can get tickets at evermaynard.com. Maybe I'll talk about this during the live show. Yeah, I like to hang out. I like to chill. I like to kick it.
There you go.
With Mr. Sin. I don't know how to end this because I'm literally having.
You're having. Fine. Let's pivot to what's a tweet that you like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, go. But anyway, get your tickets evermaynard.com, evermaynard.com.
There it is.
And if you're like, hey, I really want to go, but I don't, they're like 12 to 15 bucks for a generous ticket, but these tickets are split up for like I'm not like gobbling them up.
Yeah.
The price. Like the money is split and donated. And there is, it's more of a meme tweet, but it's the cover of Give a Mouse a Cookie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you have that in your mind.
Got it.
It says it's hexed at HEXED25. I don't know if this, maybe if I hope this person is the real creator of this. If not, I'm so sorry. But it says, please, instead of give a mouse a cookie, it says, please give a bitch a break. I work very hard. I'm trying my best. I'm so tired all the goddamn time.
Got it.
And the quote is me after hearing about the Delta Plus variant. And I was like, yeah, tight.
Give a bitch a break. Identifiable. Like, I get it. I'm in it.
It's very real. Very real. Very real. Joelle, thank you so much for helping me host today. Your infinite knowledge was put to the test today, even though Ever was given us some interesting facts. We tried our best.
Very close.
Very close. And hey, Zeitgang, if you knew it was Mr. Sinister from the first act, and you're like, I know who it was. Kudos. Kudos with M&Ms in them to you.
You want a koozie. Favorite. You want a Comic-Con koozie.
Yeah, exactly.
From this
game. Joelle, where can people find you and follow you, listen to you, experience you, and what's the tweet that you like?
Yeah, you guys know me. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. That's JoelleMoniqueE. A tweet that I am obsessed with right now. It's from at We Are Ivy Park. If you don't know it, that's Beyonce's clothing line. She partnered with Adidas. It just says hashtag Ivy Park Rodeo. It's got Beyonce's hands with an Ivy Park, like, Texas-style belt buckle. I don't know what's about to come out, but whenever she goes full Houston, it's sensational. I'm ready. Like, bring it. Oh, God. Beyonce. I was just complaining about how we weren't getting enough of her, and look at how she blesses me this morning. Like, a queen. I'm so excited.
8-8-8-8-0-8.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, man. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Glorious.
Let's see. A tweet that I like, just one tweet, and it was just funny because I don't know if you know, Barack Obama had to cancel his big birthday bash on Martha's Vineyard. I saw a thing on like TMZ that was like, guests might be really mad because they spent a lot of money renting houses on Martha's Vineyard. And I'm like, okay, that's not me.
They're not being put out.
Yeah, exactly. If you got Martha's Vineyard money and you're going to Barack Obama's birthday, I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
You think they're all not hanging out anyways?
Right.
Say that again, Evan.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Woo! Oh, man. News at 11. We'll see what happens there. But this is from Armand Domalevsky at Armand Doma tweeted, as a child, I assumed Martha's Vineyard was owned by Martha Stewart.
So did I.
Yes.
No one told me. It made sense that it would be her vineyard because she's Martha freaking Stewart.
Exactly.
I'm just pissed that she went to prison for fraud. And it's like, nobody else did.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
It is fine. Tear a woman down.
It's fine. It is what it is.
Well, you can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. Check that out with me and Sophia Alexandra. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our, you know, our episodes and our footnotes. Footnotes? There it is. Footnotes. Thank you. I heard it from the back. And let's see, along with the song that we are going to ride out on. This is just another great vibey piece from an artist called Fede, F-E-D-E. And it's called Trappetto Balcony, T-R-A-P-P-E-T-O-B-A-L-C-O-N-Y. And it's sort of like a little bit of Latin trap beat just to get your weekend going, you know, just because maybe you're in your cave, maybe you're going to play it safe and do some outdoor chilling or whatever. But maybe listen to this and get your hips moving.
You know who you guys should also check out if you're just looking to vibe? There's a UK artist called Tirzah, T-I-R-Z-A-H.
Okay.
Kind of low-key. There's a song, Gladly, that I've just been chilling with. Kind of low-key electronic music, but just great vibes to have on in the background. I don't know if you're looking for new vibes, but...
Yeah, and you can find that in the footnotes. We'll be back later on to tell you what's trending. Oh, and also, obviously, Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. You know what? My iHeart's, so we'll see you there. Check back later. We'll tell you what's trending. And until then, have a great weekend. Peace and blessings. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.